Well, Christmas is over. It's gone. It's never coming back. Oh, it will be back. I love Christmas time. I love Christmas. How many of you, maybe I shouldn't ask. I was going to ask you how many of you think you may have gained a pound or two over the holiday season this year, but I'm not going to ask that now, so. You don't have to fess up. I will tell you that I think I did. But I love Christmas time. What I don't love about Christmas time is getting out and about, trying to go shopping. I went to Walmart, folks. Was it Christmas Eve that I went? It was Tuesday. No, Christmas Eve, I went. Next time, whack me over the head when I say I'm going to do that, because I had bought my present. I wasn't buying presents. I had to get some crackers and some windshield washer fluid and stuff like that. But just I had like 7 items. Jasmine and the girls went with me, and we went to got our little stuff in our basket, went up to the front. The lines at the checkers, of course, they had like all 6 checkers going. Yeah. And the you know where they have the self-checkout part where you check out yourself? Well, that everybody crowds around the gate, you know, to get into the center there so you can check out. Well, that line went back to the main action alley there, turned, went back toward the produce aisle, turned, and was headed back toward the back of the store. I thought, there's no way. And all these people had baskets of stuff. And I'm like, I have 7 items. So we did a U-turn, didn't we, girls? We did a U-turn. We drove all the way back to automotive department. I figured since I had washer fluid, you know, I could check out at automotive. I did. We checked out back there and then went all the way back through the store, past all those people that were still standing in line, and went on home. But mercy goodness, that's the part of Christmas I don't like. Today, I want to read to you a passage out of the book of Galatians. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 6. But we'll also be putting this up on the screen. But I want to talk to you this last Sunday of 2014. I want to talk to you. I titled this message, The Year in Review, 2014, The Year in Review. And we're going to talk about just some things about the old year and the new year, what's coming, what's happened, and what we have to look forward to. Now, as I read this passage, it may be a stretch for you to figure out where I'm going with that from this passage, but just hang with me, all right? Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, Paul writes this. He says, "Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the world must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." You can see where I'm going now, right? The old year? No, not yet? Okay, hang with me. I'm going to read the same passage from the Message translation. Now, let me clarify what I've got here, okay? The Message is a paraphrase of Scripture. It is not what I would I don't study from this. That's not what I would consider Holy Scripture, okay? It's a paraphrase. It's just kind of a restatement of what Scripture says in a way that kind of may not provide a new angle, but maybe shed a little different light, put it in modern terminology, and kind of gives a fresh look at Scripture, I believe. I do not consider this to be Holy Scripture. But all that being said, there's value in it, and I use it from time to time. So I'm going to read that same passage from The Message. It says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Be very sure now you have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all good things that you have and experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds, and he'll have to show his life, and he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Each one of us is responsible to do the best with whatever we have. The Message says, you must be responsible to do your creative best. I like that word, creative best. I'm not very creative, I don't think. But God has given me a certain amount of creativity, and I need to do the best I can with what God has given me. Okay? I can be creative in some things. I like also in verse, let me see here. In verse 4, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Comparison. Comparison kills. Did you know that? I got to tell you a story real quick. While we were in Walmart on that same trip with me and my girls, we have in the Nick's household a giant, huge 39-inch TV hanging on the wall. It's huge when you compare it to a 22-inch TV. And I've been kind of lobbying for a bigger TV. Okay, I've been lobbying for 70 inches. And it didn't happen for me. And matter of fact, Rebecca, I think, threatened anybody that was thinking about that within an inch of their life because, well, let me put it this way. When I went and got that TV because our old one blew up, I said, baby, I'm going to get a 40-incher. She said, no, you're not. You are not coming home with a 40-inch TV. I said, yes, ma'am. So I found one that was 39, okay? I was kind of hoping if I asked for 70, she says, no, you can get a 65. But that didn't happen either. But here's what happened. When we were in Walmart, we were standing there in front of the TVs. They had a 70-inch TV on the wall. I say it was like this. It was more like this. Because it was really, really big. And we were standing there in front of it, and I said, Jasmine, can you see that? She said, oh, that's awesome. Aaron said something, you know, like that. That's what we need, Dad. We really need that. I said, let me show you something. You see that 70-inch TV right there? And they have them in order. You know, you got 70, a 65, a 60, a 55, and went on down. I said, okay, picture that, 70 inches. Now let's go down here to 39. Went all the way to the end, because that's the smallest one they have on display now. Looked at the 39, and Jasmine says this, is that the size of our TV? I said, yeah, it's so little. It's not so little in our house. Amen. But when you have it up next to something that is ginormous and much more superior, it looks absolutely inferior. It's because comparison kills. The scripture is telling us here, we're not to compare ourselves to others. We're supposed to just do the best we can with what God has given us. Don't compare yourself to others. Comparison kills. I love this other part of this passage in verse 10. In the message part, it phrased it like this. It says, "Don't be fatigued with doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with those closest to us in the community of faith." In the scripture, it says, "Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let's do good to all people." As we have the opportunity, right now, I want you to know, somebody in this room needs to hear this. Right now is the right time to do the right thing. Right now. This year is almost done. And really, it's just squares on a calendar, right? Because I don't feel a whole, well, I was going to say I don't feel a year older when January comes, but sometimes I wake up and I feel a year older than I did yesterday, all right? But it's just a few more days. But yet, we're going to look at the whole year in review. But right now is the right time to do the right thing. Psalm 90, verse 12, we spoke about this. I believe it was last Sunday evening. The psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Another translation says, "To correctly number the years." What I get from that is the psalmist is saying to God, and what we ought to be saying to God is, "God, help me to count what matters most. Help me to count what matters most." How many of you did something in 2014 that you just as soon forget? Two of you. Okay, there are now some more honesty's coming into the room. Okay. Sure. And I think what we need to say to God, what the scripture says is, help me to count what matters most. Help me to recall those things that were impactful. You see, when we're in the moment, you may have experienced this in the moment of in the heat of the battle, when you're in the moment in that conflict or that ecstatic moment or whatever it is, it seems to last forever, doesn't it? Yeah. How many of you went through a trial this year, a hard time, and in that moment when that was happening, it was like forever. In the moment, it lasts forever. But in retrospect, when you look back, especially if years pass and you look back, sometimes it's just a blip on the radar. Help us to count what matters most. How many of you are on Facebook these days? Some Facebookies out there? I call my wife the Facebook junkie. She likes to check the Facebook. I do it too. I just don't do it where she can see it. But Facebook, something new this year that I didn't see last year. They have this thing called the year in review or your year in Facebook or whatever it is. And what Facebook does is when you post, especially if you post a picture, then somehow they, with all their people they've got, they compile like a photo album of your year this year. And they'll gather up pictures of, and they put it in chronological order and they'll put it up there. And so I saw this thing, it looked like a post that I made, but I didn't make a post. And it said, "Michael, here's your year in review. Take a look." And I looked at it and they categorized it and kind of went back over the year. I thought, wow, that's really cool. It's my year in review. And there were some things in there that I had kind of forgotten about, like when the girls took markers and marked all over Zachary's body because he had done that to them, and they got revenge and it was even worse than he did to them. It was awesome. I loved it. They need to do that a whole lot more often, I think. But some things like that I had actually kind of forgotten about, I got to see again. I was like, oh yeah, that was cool. That was fun. Our year in review. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at our year in review. Years are short, aren't they? Now, if you're young, you may not agree. But as years pass, just ask somebody who's a little older than you are. And they'll tell you, yeah, they seem to move more quickly as you get older. If you don't think they're long, just wait a few years and you'll see. And we need to make the most of the moments that we have. We need to make the most of the moments that we have. In Scripture, there are two different words for time. By the way, I'm going to shave this beard off very soon. I've been growing it. This is my Christmas beard, and I've had about all of it I can take. So, and this I look like Santa Claus, except the big belly because I'm not big. It scratches on the microphone and everything. So, in Scripture, there are two words mentioned, two Greek words that for time. Okay, I'm going to teach you a little bit of a Greek lesson today. The first word for time is called chronos. And you might guess, you know, we get a chronograph, a chronological order. That's that kind of time. It's the time it's clock time. If you were a Greek back in the day and you wanted to ask somebody, what time is it? You would use the word chronos. And they would look at their Timex and tell their digital Timex and tell you, well, it's 11:16. You'd say, oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you for telling me the chronos. That's the time, that kind of a time. Another word that's mentioned for time is called kairos. Chronos and kairos. Kairos has a little bit different meaning. Kairos is that what he talks about here in verse 10, the opportune moment. It's the right time. It's that special moment. It's when, this is cool, it's when God breaks through the chronos, through the time as we know it, and he does something special. You may have referred to it or heard it referred to as a God moment. Somebody may come up to you and say, oh, I had a God moment this week. That's kairos. That's different than a regular time. That's very different than regular moments. Okay? It's a special moment. It's the right time. But I will tell you that all time is God's time. All time is God's time. And one day, when we stand before God to give an account of our lives, he will expect us to give a comprehensive account of all of our time. Not just the God moments. Not just the kairos. He'll expect us to give an account of the chronos of all time. You see, a lot of times specifically if somebody says, you know, tell me your testimony, we tell them the kairos moments, right? Because the chronos moments are just kind of dull and boring. We want to tell the good things, the big things that happened, right? Here's my highlights. Here's my Facebook year in review. I'm not going to show you everything I have on my camera roll, but I want to show you my year in review. These are the special moments. But when we stand before God, we're going to have to give him a comprehensive account of all of our moments. I want to tell you that every moment, every chronos moment has the potential to be a kairos moment. Every ordinary moment has the potential to be a God moment. If you'll find God in the moment. Verse 9 tells us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, at the kairos moment, the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't get weary in chronos because there's a kairos waiting to happen. Don't get weary in the ordinary because something special is primed and ready for you. Keep planting the seed. Keep planting the seed. How many farmers do we have or gardeners? Anybody ever planted a seed of anything? If you have, raise your hand. Okay. Did you know that between planting and harvesting is a long stretch of darkness and invisibility. A lot of times you plant a seed and you can't even see anything for a long time until the little green thing pokes its head up above the ground. Then it's just as you can't tell the difference between that and a weed, and it just kind of looks like a big old plant or whatever. Then before long, or maybe a long time later, depending on what kind of plant it is, then you start to see something happening. And sometimes what actually happens is underground, like potatoes, okay? Peanuts, there you go. Not like Snoopy and Charlie Brown. We're talking about like the peanuts that you put in Chex Mix and eat. You see, I'm still doing Christmas time, Chex Mix and whatnot. Long stretches of darkness and invisibility separate planting from harvest. If you want potatoes tonight for supper, it's not going to do you any good to go plant some in the morning of that same day. You see, a long time has to happen between planting and harvest. You need to have planted those potatoes a long time ago. As we look back over the year, over 2014, and the moments that happened, and the Kronos moments and the Kairos moments, think about the seeds you planted. Think about those things that you invested in for the future. What I'm talking about are our attitudes, decisions, acts, things that you actually physically did, prayers that you prayed to God. Those are seeds. Scripture says a harvest will come. A harvest will come. As we look forward to 2015, let us commit to sow more seeds in order to reap a greater harvest down the road. Tell me what you need. What you mean, Mike? Planting seeds. What are you talking about? I'm talking about those acts. I'm talking about attitudes. Did you know that a sour attitude breeds more sour attitudes? It does. It does. A joyous spirit becomes infectious, and it not only allows your spirit to become more joyous, but it infects other people and gives them joy, and they find a reason to be joy, and it's plant those kinds of things. Some 2,000 years ago, God, he stepped into Kronos. He stepped into our time with the birth or the incarnation. And as I told you earlier, the birth is not the beginning of Jesus Christ. That was just the beginning of him becoming like us, of him becoming to us in order to pay a ransom for us. But that's when he stepped into the Kronos with the birth and the incarnation of Jesus Christ to enable us to experience Kairos. He stepped into ordinary time to allow us to experience God moments. If you have Christ, if you are a child of God, if you're a Christian, and I'm not just talking about what you call yourself, if you truly have trusted Jesus Christ, you truly receive the forgiveness that only he can offer, if you are truly a child of God, Kairos time is alive in you. But don't miss the Kairos because you're focused on the Kronos. Don't miss the God moments because you're focused on the mundane characteristics of ordinary time. Don't miss those special moments. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Again, Paul writing here, and he said, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Make the most of every opportunity. This is that Kairos. He says, look, when opportunities come, you make the most of them. You make them Kairos moments. You make them special moments, not just ordinary time. Another translation says, redeem the time. This was one of my mother-in-law's favorite sayings. We need to redeem the time. We need to buy back the time. And we're not talking about buying back the past. We're talking about paying forward and buying the future. Redeem the time. Don't miss the moment. because you despise the mundane or the ordinary. A lot of times we do stuff during the daytime that we just don't really care about. Most of us, most people, if you have a job, probably the majority of those people that work would say, you know, it's just a day at work. It's just work. And those moments, they pass and we come home and we have a paycheck to show for it, and maybe somebody pat us on the back or we did good or we're proud of our work or whatever, but that's sometimes we don't consider that time just valuable Kairos type of time. It's just Chronos time. We're just going to pass this time by. When I get home, then I can get hold of my spouse and I can hug them and I can tell them I love them and I can sit down to a nice dinner. And those are special moments. But the other stuff is just kind of mundane. Don't miss those God moments because of the ordinary. It's only mundane because you let it be. If you're in the kitchen and you're cooking in the kitchen, God is moving among the pots and the pans. When you're doing like we did, went to Walmart, and we parked in the very last parking spot up there by the close to the McDonald's. We were closer to McDonald's than we were to Walmart. But when you have to park that far away and you have to walk all the way to the front door, don't just let that be regular Chronos time. Spend time in prayer with God on your walk up to the store. Pray when you sit down in the hospital and you're sitting beside somebody and you're staying there with them and they're not even awake. They're asleep. Open up the Word of God. Spend some time reading Scripture. When you rock your babies to sleep or your grandbabies to sleep, that's a special moment, isn't it? Make it more special. Sing Scripture to them. Invest in them. Tell them a story. Tell them a biblical story. Tell them of who Christ is and how Christ has come to save and love even them. When you're doing homework with the kids, when you're sitting down, use that time and build that relationship. Take that Chronos moment and make it a Kairos moment. When you drive that long commute to work, I know some of you drive a long ways. Spend time talking with the Father during that trip. It's not just time that's passed. Make the most of every opportunity, Scripture says. Every opportunity. Even driving in the car, in traffic. And spend more time praying, you'll spend less time cussing at the people that are idiots out there driving. I'll tell you that. Okay? I know from experience. When you sit down to pay that mountain of bills in the middle of the month or the end of the month or the beginning of the month, or it seems like every Friday of the week, whatever it is when they come in, you sit down to pay those bills. Be thankful that God has blessed you with the ability to pay those bills, the ability to be blessed with those things. Don't just let it be ordinary. Be thankful for what God has blessed you with. Turn the best. Make the most of every opportunity. You have the ability and the power and the resources within you to turn Chronos time into Kairos moments. You have the ability to turn regular time into those God moments. And this is my prayer for you as a church. This year, in 2015, we're going to have more Kairos moments to talk about at the end of the year than we did this year. Some of you are so blessed that you could stand up and you could talk for an hour about those special God moments this year. My prayer for you is that next year you'd be able to stand up here and talk for 2 hours about those special God moments for you this year. You have the ability to turn Chronos into Kairos. And here's why. It's not because you're smart, not because you're strong, not because you're intelligent, not because you're faith or anything like that. It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit within you as a child of God. He can say to you, hey, this is special. And you can say back to the Spirit, yes, it is. Let's make the most of it. But you could also say to the Spirit, don't bother me with that right now. This is just an ordinary moment. Here's our challenge. Take the regular time and make it special. Make it special. I bet you that if you asked anybody in the room, especially somebody that's been around a little while, a little bit older, and you asked them, if you had it to do all over again, would you go back and take some of that ordinary time and make it a little more special? And I bet you they would say, oh, yes, I would. I would spend more time doing this. I'd spend more time with this person. I would do more of this. I would invest more in these kinds of things. In 2015, let's plant potatoes early. Let's start planting potatoes now so that we can gain that harvest and it'll be there. Let's turn Kronos into Kairos. A lot of feedback. Are y'all hearing that? Maybe you're here today. I'm about done. I'm going to wrap us up and get us out of here. But maybe you're here today, and in your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ, you could say, yeah, I've had a lot of Kronos moments, but I haven't had very much Kairos moments. I've had a lot of time pass, but not a lot of that time passed has been God moments. Let me tell you something. It's not because God's not wanting to do it in your life. Maybe today's the day when you need to come and you need to say, you know what? I'm going to commit to make more God moments out of the ordinary time. Maybe today's the day you come and say, look, I don't even know what you're talking about because I don't have a relationship with Christ. I know who he is. I know stories. I've heard stories. My grandmother read me stories about it a long time ago, and I know who he is. I know about the cross, and I know about Easter, and I know all of those things. But I don't know what you're talking about when you say have a relationship with him. Oh, my friend, let me explain that to you. You come see me. We'll sit down, because it may take a while. We'll sit down. We'll have some coffee, and if it takes long enough, we'll have some coconut cream pie or something, and we'll have a good time. But I want to tell you what Christ has done and how you can have that relationship with him. He desperately wants to have it with you. How desperate? Oh, I'm glad you asked. He was so desperate to have that relationship with you that it could not exist because of sin in our lives, that he came and he gave his very life for you. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to do whatever it takes to allow there to be no barrier between us. If there's a barrier that exists, it's because you've chosen to allow it to remain. You don't have to do that. You can say, God, I can't take that barrier down. I recognize it's there, and I don't want it there. Would you take that down for me, please? And he'll do that for you. He'll do that for you. Maybe you're here today, and you say, you would say to yourself, or you would say to somebody else, I'm guilty as charged. I've just been allowing regular time to pass, and I'm not making the most of every opportunity, as Paul told the Galatians. I'm not making Kairos moments. I'm just spinning my wheels. I'm just having regular time. It's just treading through the week and enjoying a moment or two here and there. But I want to turn more of those moments into God moments. I want to have those special moments. I want to have those things that are worth counting in my life. Friends, this is the last Sunday of 2014. 2015 happens in the middle of this week. Let's start it off with a bang. Let's start it off by committing, saying this year is going to be a banner year because I'm planting potatoes today and I'm going to eat those potatoes come whenever potatoes get ripe. I'm not a farmer. I'm not a gardener. But there's going to come a day when those potatoes are going to come and be mature, and I'm going to harvest. But you're never going to harvest those things unless you plant them today. This is our year. I'm excited about 2015, folks. I believe God has got some great things in store for us as a church. I believe God has got some great things in store for you and your families and for you personally. But it's up to you. It's up to you. to release the Holy Spirit in your life and turn those Kronos moments into Kairos moments. What is your desire? Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, this is a special day. Lord, as I said earlier in the moment, in the service today, you said in your word, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Father, some people didn't feel like rejoicing today. Some people don't feel like being glad today. Father, those people will just let Kronos time run by. Father, help us to take those times and say, yeah, I don't feel like worshiping today. I don't feel good today. I don't feel like being glad today. But I'm going to anyway. I'm not going to allow it just to be an ordinary day. I'm not going to allow these moments to be ordinary in my life. I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to allow this to be a special God moment in my life. Father, help us to do that, not just on Sundays, not just on Sunday nights, not just on Wednesdays, but, Father, every single day of our lives. Father, help us to desire for you to unleash your power in our lives. And I ask that for all my people in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand as we sing.